advisor. Let's pray first.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time. I thank you for who you are in our lives. Lord, you are awesome. I thank you for the words you've given me to speak. I pray for ears to hear it. I pray the Spirit would move in people to do what you would have them do. Lord, speak to each individual in a special way. Speak to them now, and may you be glorified. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to start off with reading from Luke 14, 25 to 33. And I'm going to read to you from the NLT version. And I think it's a little bit different up on the screen, but this is the cost of being a disciple. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must by comparison hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own." Counting the cost. It's the title of my message. I stopped taking math classes when I was in grade 10 in high school. Trigonometry did me in. I was done. I knew what I was going to be. I was going to be a writer. And I was going to work with words, not numbers. So I was done with math. Now, a little aside, God's sense of humor. I spent several days this week working with numbers to prepare Climbing for Christ 2020 budget in advance of yesterday's Climbing for Christ Canada annual celebration with our board of directors here. And I pretty much work on ministry finances every single day. Can you hear the Lord laughing? Yes, God has a sense of humor. But I digress. Despite my disdain for math, I can keep my checkbook balanced. I can do addition and multiplication. Although I am still mystified by God's multiplication. Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he fed 5,000 people. Another time, he fed 4,000 people, and he had leftovers. Amazing. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells the parable of the farmer scattering seed, and he tells us if we plant him among the people, a crop will be produced that is, in verse 8, 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. That's God at work. That's God math. We have seen this firsthand in far-off places, in ends of the earth places that are spoken about in Acts 1:8. That's where we go in Climbing for Christ, to the people in the Himalayas in Nepal, in the Andes in Peru, on Mount Ararat, and in the Taurus Mountains in Turkey, and elsewhere. We go to mountainous areas where others will not or cannot go. We go because that's where God sends us. It's really that simple. I was a sports writer at the Daily Newspaper in Rochester, New York. I was doing what I'd wanted to do since I was 7 or 8 years old. I was living the dream, covering all those professional athletes and major college athletes, covering the Boston Bruins. Yeah. Then God interrupted that dream, and he woke me up to something even greater. You see, we find good and we're content, but God is always looking for great. God told me to start a Christian climbing organization. I had no idea what that would look like or how to do that, and God waited until I figured out that he was calling me to steward something that he was going to build from the ground up. Climbing for Christ is 15 years old now. 15 years. I remember when we took Climbing for Christ for its first haircut. It was so young then. We have nearly 2,600 members in 68 countries. We have gone on missions to 16 nations. We are preparing to go on our 105th short-term mission in less than 2 weeks, back to Nepal for the 17th time. Brandy and Matthew Fisher are part of this team. It'll be my 15th time to Nepal since 2011, and I still can't speak Nepali. We're currently ministering full-time with indigenous workers in 10 countries. We build up the church, the body of Christ, and we build churches. Our 11th was just completed. It's our first in Pakistan, an Islamic republic that is 99.1% Muslim. We make disciples who make disciples in places like Turkey, another Muslim country that is not friendly to Christ followers. So how did we get where we are? How did we get from there to here? God, yes. And by me answering God's call with a simple, here I am. This brings us to mathematics, to counting. Did I count the cost when I left a successful sports writing career to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ? I didn't have to. I knew it was God's will for my life, but my wife did. Her first question, even if she didn't say it out loud, was, how are we going to pay the bills? There is a cost to be paid to follow Jesus where God wants us to go. I now weigh it everywhere we go, not for me, but for the people that we go to. Because Climbing for Christ works in some of the most persecuted places in the world, Pakistan, Turkey, Indonesia, Nepal. We go, as Jesus told us to do, in Matthew 28:19 and Mark 16:15 and Acts 1:8, to preach the gospel. We go to reach the unreached, people who have never heard the name of Jesus in some of the most remote places on the planet. And when those people hear about this Jesus, when they recognize that this Jesus who was sent to earth by his Father to die for our sins and to defeat death once and for all, that this Jesus is their Savior and Lord, they often face unimaginable persecution. In Nepal, Matthew Fisher and our Nepali worker Meg Gurung led two young men to the Lord in a very remote village in 2015. One boy became outspoken against the ungodly practices of that Hindu village. He was poisoned to death. They claimed it was suicide, but in my heart, I know differently. On my first trip to Indonesia, where the largest Muslim population in the world resides, in 2007, I was asked by two new believers to pray for and bless their ministry. They were both from the Middle East. When they accepted Jesus, they were outcast by family and friends. They lost everything earthly in gaining everything eternally. I felt an enormous responsibility in lifting them to do something that might easily lead to their demise. But I knew it was God's will for me and for them, so I prayed for them. This summer, we were in Turkey. We had not been to Turkey for 4 years because after we were there in 2015, the government began to attack the Kurdish people living where we were ministering in the southeastern part of that country. Mount Ararat, where we served, has been closed to outsiders, and it remains closed. So we went to other mountains because we wanted to spend time with Muslim friends we've known for many years. Those friends became our brothers in Christ during this trip. Many people asked Jesus to be their Savior and Lord while we were there. We rejoiced with all of heaven when this happened. Keep in mind, Turkey is more than 96% Muslim. What happened while we were there didn't sit well with everyone. One brother, a Kurd, was evicted from his apartment by his landlord, who reported him to the police. His family was forced to find another place to live. A house church he started was closed by authorities. Now they drive 1.5 hours to another city to worship. They have to rent a vehicle to do that, but they do it joyfully every Sunday. Whenever the next problem arises, another brother tells us, no worries, no dramas, God is with us. What a great attitude. After this brother attended worship for the first time since confessing his faith with us, I asked him if he enjoyed going to church. He said it was great. Everyone made him and his friends feel really, really welcome. He said of church, I love it. Now, maybe you've spent a long time witnessing to somebody, and God has moved in their hearts and spirit has softened them, and they have come to church, and they've realized that they need Jesus. Maybe you know how I felt when I heard those words from my friend Bezet in Turkey. It's an amazing moment. This is a man we had prayed for years and years and years, that we spent time with every year. And we'd been praying for him. We called him a friend. He met my daughter in Turkey in 2013, and he said, my sister. And she said, I'm not your sister. You're my friend. When you come to Christ, I will be your sister. So the first thing he told me after we met, and he said, we are family now, and I went, oh, praise the Lord, was we got a text to my daughter saying, guess who is your brother in Christ? And she wept, tears of joy. Now, he has since led several family members to the Lord, just like that. He started sharing Jesus with everyone. His cousin Daphne is one of those who embraced Jesus, and Daphne was very, very excited about going to college this fall, until her parents found out about her newfound faith in Jesus. They told her she needed to renounce her faith or they would not pay for her education. She chose Jesus. I shared this story in our home church last month, and afterward, a sister in Christ came up to me and said she and her husband want to pay to send Daphne to college. That's God math. Amen. Praise Him. We're supposed to visit this group of new believers in December, teaching them as much about the Bible as we can in the time that we'll have together. We are praying that the idiocy that has been occurring there recently, Turkey's invasion of Syria's Kurdish north, does not keep us from going, since these brothers and sisters live very near the border. We have stories like this, stories like the things that have occurred in Turkey, in many places. In Pakistan, a partner ministry has had its founder run off the road on his motorcycle, his father attacked, their house stoned by mobs, and a sister abducted and forced to marry a Muslim, never to be heard from again. We've walked with them through these painful experiences. Yet last month, they took me on a Skype tour through the church we've helped them build, and they feel incredibly blessed. We praise God for this. One of the early church fathers said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Jesus told us the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Matthew 5:10 says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. The persecuted church knows that the pain they experience will only be for a moment. Their best life is yet to come. I've rarely seen boldness that compares to that of believers who live in persecuted places. In Nepal, it is now illegal to lead another person to Christ. Our brothers and sisters there can be sent to prison for 5 years for doing what Jesus called us to do something that we in free countries like Canada and the U.S. take for granted. Yet we support a ministry partner who does a radio ministry, and our kingdom worker, Meg, can turn any and every conversation he is having into a sharing about Jesus within 5 minutes. I can't count how many times I've seen him do this, boldly. In Mark 8:34 to 38, Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit? And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So, what are you hanging on to this morning? Are you ashamed of Jesus or his message? If we aren't boldly sharing, there must be something we're ashamed of. I just want everybody to take a little heart check right now. I'm hoping the Spirit is stirring something in you. That maybe there's somebody that God has wanted you to share with for a long time. Maybe you have shared in the past, and maybe you've kind of given up. God doesn't give up. He's the hound of heaven. He pursues us until he gets us. He did that with me. So maybe there's somebody right now that God's whispering in your ear. Family member, friend, somebody you go to work with or school. Somebody that you need to go and talk to. You need to shine a light to. One of the great things about getting older, and because I'm not good with numbers, I can't tell you how old I am,
is you really don't care what people think about you. If I tell you about Jesus and you think I'm some sort of freak, well, so be it. And thanks, because I am. Once upon a time, I did not know this Jesus. I didn't know about his love for me, his love for you, his love for that world out there. I had no idea what I was missing. Now my heart is burdened for those who are like I once was, lost. I've done the math. There's no cost too great after all the great things he has done for us. Amen. That's why the words of Jesus from Matthew 10, 38, and 39 ring so true. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. My prayer for each of us is that we may find our lives, our calling, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's stop clinging to something that isn't of God. Let's lay everything down at the foot of the cross and take up that cross and follow him to whatever great thing he has waiting for you. May you be blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. I want to pray for you right now. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I just feel like there's people in this church, Lord, this body of believers, that you have called to do something, Lord. I pray right now their hearts are burning with a desire to go out, to share who you are with someone. And Lord, I pray that you would bless that. Lord, let your spirit move here. Fill this place. Fill these people. Use them for your glory. Lord, stir us. Stir us to the point that we can't say no. That we must say, we will go. And that's my prayer for each and everyone here, that we would go. Whether it's across the street, across a room, across the planet, wherever you would send us. May we all say, here am I, send me. Pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Al.